Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other popular podcast platforms. This week, Nick brings us a sermon called Gleam in His Eye. It comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and Psalm 119, verse 11.
I'm here because I want to be aware of God. I need to look and listen for God. And so we try to provide music and art that sets the stage for the encounter. Do you feel it? When Rocky writes, when Sarah plays, I feel it. And no one is going to remember this sermon. It's all chaff and wind, so sit back, relax, do your shopping list, take a nap. Tomorrow is Memory Day. He that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Where we pay attention shapes our life. What fills your ears, your sights? What do you remember? And according to Scripture, God formed us in God's likeness with the ability to create. So God created mankind in His own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. Now, reading that, I feel differently about us-ins. When I realize that we are formed in God's image, what people miss is that we have the same stuff as the one who set the stars to whirling. Are we blessed or what? And I believe that when we co-create with God, we are tapping into God's presence.
Oh, I'm not creative.
Are you created in God's image? Then get over it. You are. You're creating all the time, from what you picked out to wear. Well, that's unfortunate, but your vacation, how you make bolognese sauce, how to pray. We're creative with every breath. Even you, Bob. We creative children of God are interior decorators of our souls. What we choose to let in, what we hang on the walls of our souls is, in addition to our heredity, the material of which we are made. We become what we choose to let in. And those experiences hang around. Memory. Well, some of them hang around. I try to remember. It's getting harder all the time. We remember those things our subconscious chooses to remember, and those memories shape us. Well, do you agree with me? Could somebody please say no? Thank you. Our God-given brains are purposely not computers. We can't remember everything exactly like it happened. What we do, because we're created in God's image, is we get creative with our memories. Anything come to mind? Did your brother remember that story wrong? You can't really know where you're going till you know where you've been. And I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What are the memories that form you? Well, that's wrong. Here, stay. We've forgotten some of the memories. We've forgotten a lot of memories. But the ones we do remember, that's what I find interesting. We remember some really painful and hard things, some soft and beautiful things, and we are creative with those memories. For instance, you've heard it said that the winners write history. Now, history is not grounded in facts. Rather, it's the winner's interpretation that prevails. We choose to perceive our histories, our memories, in certain ways, right? Do you agree with me? Oh, come on. Thank you. But why do we do that? Why do we, and we do, get creative with our memories? Or do you still think that you remember it exactly like it happened? The Judeo-Christian faiths are woven with memory and ceremonies and holy days about memories. But do those memories, do those stories say exactly what happened? As if a video was taken of Moses? Well, I guess that'd be Charlton Heston. Did memory add some lighting and special effects? I love it when they do that. It makes it more interesting and important. And so here's an example of more interesting and important. She remembers when she was very young at a family picnic next to a freezing lake, closely but innocently pointing to a swan who savagely attacked her and wounded her. The world came to an end. Fear, screaming, crying, death was at her doorstep. It chewed off her arm, and then they had to sew it back on. That's what she remembered. But her dad retells that it nipped at her, and she giggled. She doesn't care what really happened. To this day, to her, birds are bad, those violent, carnivorous beasts. Now, I'll admit, she added a lot of drama, but her creation of the event determines her present reaction to birds. Whether or not she should react that way, that's a different story. So what do you remember from your childhood, from your adolescence? Ooh, you just thought of something. Your 20s, your 30s, yesterday, this morning. How we remember shapes our present. How do you tell that story? How do you spin that yarn? When we do certain hymns, when we can do certain hymns, some folks are propelled back and remember Grandma's church and Grandma's spirit and how Grandma defended you and hugged you. And her fried chicken, and her smile. Grandma was perfect. Oh, that wasn't just a hymn. That was a memory book. So careful when you say you don't like that hymn. All of our reactions are because of memory, past experiences. But we're all working with different information, different memories. They're personal, they're individual. Let's be careful with one another. Not just about music, because we may be treading on their sacred ground. Their potent memories are defining their present responses. That person doesn't think like you. They have different memories that are driving their feelings. It's not the actual factual dots on a page as much as how Sarah plays the dots, how she interprets them. She makes it beautiful. Otherwise, those are just dots. It's not the story as much as how Rocky tells the story, how she sets the stage and the turn of phrase. To share her story and turn it into a real, a felt experience. Until we share our feelings, it's not real to the listener. Leslie Weatherhead says, "The truth may certainly be true, whatever my opinion may be, but it has no authority with me until I perceive it to be true." Do you know a great storyteller? A tall tale teller? Those fish keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, I don't care how big the fish actually was. I do care about the look in his eye. There's a gleam in his eye when he tells the story. He sets the scene. The wind was blowing down the canyon with a wink of sunlight and the spray from the 10-foot rapids. I fought with a huge cold-blooded beast for 3 days and three nights. It goes on and on and on. It goes on too long, but it's great. You know what the tall tale teller is doing? He's being artful. Instead of making a spreadsheet with fish dimensions and ambient temperature readouts, he's making an epic movie of the experience. And there's passion. You can see it in his eyes. There's a glint. There's a twinkle. That's it. Being artful with the descriptions. Thrill me with your story or make me cry. That's better, more important than what actually happened, because you're putting your accurate feelings into it. That's when your story comes alive, when it's dripping with your passion, your excitement, your sorrow, your perspective. I don't care how big the fish really was, or if fish size is inaccurate. I want to know how you felt when you caught it. That's the real story, a real felt story endures. That's Holy Scripture. These biblical writers, these people, were so turned on by what was happening that I can feel their pain, their joy, their impatience, their hope when I read their artful story, and their stories endure. We weren't there. We get to rely on them to tell us how they felt about what happened. That's what makes passionate stories endure. And we want to hear your story. The story of how you meet God, how it feels. And I bet your story is a beauty. I'm not done yet. Something more can happen when we, today's storytellers, get creative with our memories, our stories. They can become legendary or mythic. I'm thinking of my grandpa right now. Mythic. Myth sometimes means not true. I'm not using the word like that. Myth originally means more than literal truth. Joseph Campbell, the great author, writes, "Myth is much more important and true than history. History is just journalism, and you know how reliable that is." Now, did Babe Ruth really come to the plate, point to the outfield bleachers, and hit it there? Prove it. I don't care. Because every time I got up to bat, I thought of that legend. It changed my attitude at the plate. I was the Babe, and I felt his bravura, and I plastered the ball. Myth made my batting average. In the logging industry, when chainsaws and mechanization started appearing, the myth of Paul Bunyan was created. The story of industrialization became myth. Do you see how the myth of Paul Bunyan is more than true because it entails some of the true romance of a bygone era, how folks felt about moving on into mechanization. Okay, King Arthur. Did King Arthur exist? Or when did he exist? But King Arthur is the king that was and the king that shall be. The legend of Camelot influenced President Kennedy's administration. The story of Excalibur, Lancelot, a peerless seat of chivalry. Now, is that history or vision? that connected with how we tried to live. Okay, Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. Okay. The spirit of adventure with any little boy with a coonskin cap. The legend connected with our dreams and play more than a history lesson. George Washington chopped down a cherry tree and couldn't tell a lie. Did it really happen? Doesn't matter as much as the effect. It's harder to tell a lie when we think of George. Sorry. It's hard to break this to you, but Yoda is a fictional character. But has an effect. There is no trying to do or not do. Sorry, I'm going to work on that. When we are confronted with challenge, Yoda asks me, what's your attitude? When I talk with my students, and they say, I'll try to play it. I go, no. Yoda, play it or don't. What's important in these legends, those myths, that they affect people's lives, their dreams, their actions more. Joseph Campbell again. People say that what we're all seeking is a meaning for life. I don't think that's what we're really seeking. I think that what we're seeking is an experience of being alive so that our life experiences will have resonances with our own innermost being and reality, so that we actually feel the rapture of being alive. The Christ does that for me, the rapture of being alive. Okay, now, this part's harder. There are some people who do not perceive the things that Jesus did to be literally true. Now, you can say they're wrong all you want, but for some, needing to believe in the actual events even gets in the way of connecting with Jesus. There's so much conflict about proving what actually happened. The first King James Version was revised in 1881, upon finding codices. There were more finds at Oxyrhynchus, and there was the Gospel of Thomas. They found more stuff at Nag Hammadi, the Gospel of Mary, the Dead Sea Scrolls. There were alleged copyists. All of that put the historicity of the Bible into question for some people. Maybe not you, but for some people. We could spend a lifetime talking about that stuff. Now, my robe is only terry cloth, but I think the New Testament is most potently how they felt about Jesus. I want to tell my skeptic friends how Jesus makes me feel. Think about Jesus. A life more dynamic and evocative than any. Do the stories of Jesus affect our dreams, our actions, just like the biblical writers? Do we feel the rapture of his presence like that? The apostles had a sparkle in their eyes when they talked about Jesus. So tell me the story of Jesus and you. I bet that's a passionate story. I bet it's not dry and exacting. I bet there's a glint in your eye. Okay. When I talk about Fanny Crosby, people start rolling their eyes. She was a composer. She wrote 8,000 hymns. And she was wildly passionate about Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Right. On my heart, every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Oh, I hear in that marching melody how she felt And that's why her music affected so many around the turn of the century, even if we think, oh, the melody is silly. I care less about the accurate size of some fish. I care about the glint in the fisherman's eyes when the story is told. Remember, what turned your crank? You are the hands and feet and voice of Jesus when you tell what turned your crank, artfully and passionately. You could give me the spreadsheet of Jesus. I'd rather hear about how you feel, because your artful story brings God alive. The facts? Glad you know them. But the passion in your voice, your story brings God alive. Your memories, your story. And when you tell it, the twinkle in your eye. Yeah, part of the joy of coming back together again is to see people we haven't seen in a while. And Mary Ellen Howard, I am so happy to see you. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. And this is the benediction. The past is never lost to us. We carry it with us wherever we go. It is in every cell of our body and our soul. It is where we have been. It is where we learned to love. It is where we made our mistakes. The gift is knowing that the present will soon pass and that the way we embraced it has the power to change everything. So, go from this place and remember and tell your story. That is a real way to treat your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.